You see, most gamblers, when they go to gamble, they go to win. When we go to gamble, we go to lose. Even when we win, it's just a matter of time before we give it all back.
This is the Bet Slippin' Podcast,
featuring Jeff Clark and Eston McLaren from USA Today Sportsbook Wire.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
Join them on their journey as they grow from gambling writers to sports betting sharps.
I mean, it's the gambling business. Occasionally get punched in the face.
You're listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast. Now, Jeff Clark and Eston McLaren.
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
Welcome back, gamblers, to Sportsbook Wire's Bet Slippin' Podcast, sponsored by BetMGM Sportsbook. Shout out to our sponsor, BetMGM. Those guys are awesome, and they're operational in 10 states, and they have a great user-friendly mobile app. So all of our listeners in Colorado, New Jersey, Indiana, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Iowa, Tennessee, Nevada, Michigan, and Virginia, be sure to check out our sponsor, BetMGM, if you're looking to get some action on this week's games or any future sporting events. They got you covered. They have a whole bunch of promotional bonuses and incentives to get you onboarded with them. So be sure to check them out. We have a great show in store for you. I'm co-host and handicapper here, Jeff Clark. And I'm joined by my gambling consigliere, handicap and hype man, and colleague at Sportsbook Wire, Eston McLaren. Eston, what's going on, man?
Hey, Jeff. Doing well. NFL offseason, we've already, last week we talked about a big move. We have another big move to talk about this week. And hey, we're not even in free agency yet. So NFL never disappoints. You're going to talk some basketball, NBA coming up here. Can't wait to do that with you. And another big golf tournament here. Golf season is really picking up. We've got the Arnold Palmer Invitational this week, the Players Championship next week, and we're only 5 weeks away from the Masters. So I'm very excited about how golf season's playing out.
Hell yeah, brother. I'm going to make a case a little bit later for Julius Randle to win Most Improved Player. I got three NBA games I'm going to handicap for this week. Like you said, you're going to talk about the Arnold Palmer Invitational. But also, like you said, NFL has pretty much year-round news and action. And the biggest story this past week, which we'll cover here now, will be J.J. Watt signing with the Arizona Cardinals. J.J. Watt signed a two-year, $31 million deal with $23 million guaranteed this week. Are you running to the window to bet the Arizona Cardinals in this after acquiring J.J. Watt?
I got them right after, he kind of broke that signing himself with the tweet and the picture wearing the shirt. So I went and I placed a bet right then before the odds could adjust. Anytime you get a little bit of value based on this early team versus the team that's going to be taking the field in September. So yeah, I did it. I like it. Now the Cardinals, to me, they got a lot of Super Bowl hype last year. Everyone just following that sophomore quarterback trend with Kyler Murray last year. They flashed. At times they looked really great. And that win over the Buffalo Bills was top of the charts. Big win over the Seattle Seahawks as well. But then, yeah, they disappointed and missed the playoffs. But I think there's plenty of talent still there to do it, led by Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins, plenty young enough and still elite at the wide receiver position. And they got to figure out running back, I guess, this offseason. But there is talent on that defensive side of the football as well. And Chandler Jones only played 5 games last year. That really hurt them. So now you get him back healthy and pair him with J.J. Watt. You'd like to see them try to re-sign Hassan Reddick. Led the team with 12.5 sacks last year. We don't really know if that's going to work out, if they have the cap space. But if they do manage to swing that, I like that Arizona Cardinals team.
Yeah, they had a sneaky good defense. Patrick Peterson fell off a little bit, but he's still an iconic cornerback, possibly a Hall of Fame secondary player. Then they have Buda Baker, who emerged as one of the best safeties in the league. Isaiah Simmons was their first-round pick last year. He showed glimpses. He struggled a lot because he's kind of like a Swiss Army knife type defensive player that can go anywhere. But hopefully he'll find his fit and he'll be a little better off by them adding some veteran leadership like Watt in the locker room. But to your point, yeah, Chandler Jones missed 5 games last year and Arizona was still tied in fourth place with sacks. They were 8th in both adjusted sack rate and pressure rate. So adding J.J. Watt's almost like an embarrassment of riches, possibly, especially if Chandler Jones comes back from his injury fully healthy.
Yeah, I like it a lot. There was 13th in ESPN's pass rush win rate and 22nd in run stop, 9th in Football Outsiders DVOA. Yeah, there are plenty of big pieces. You mentioned there, obviously, with Patrick Peterson, Buda Baker, and Isaiah Simmons. You know, it probably wasn't as good of a rookie season as management at least expected. But you know what? Plenty of veteran leadership around him, and you know, a lot of players on that defense who, you know, took a little bit of time themselves, Buda Baker among them as well. So I think that he has, you know, the leadership and teammates in that locker room to help him out. And I think the more his role gets solidified, the better it'll be for them. He came out of college as the Swiss Army knife, as you said. I think at the NFL level, maybe he's probably got to specify a little bit. And I think, you know, having a guy like J.J. Watt, that takes away something that Isaiah Simmons maybe thought that he needed to do as well in rush the quarterback. If he can dial that back as, you know, just an extra piece rushing the quarterback every now and then, I think that'll help him out. And yeah, the less he has to do, the better.
Yeah. The comp that I would have for Isaiah Simmons would probably be like Devin White, the linebacker of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Didn't do very well his rookie year and then was an absolute stud next year. So yeah, just adding J.J. Watt and getting Chandler Jones back with all those other awesome pieces. This defense is definitely trending up, and it was already pretty good last year. And it was sneaky good because, you know, Cliff Kingsbury came in as an offensive guru with his air raid scheme. And then you had Kyler Murray, like you said. Everyone kind of predicted he would make a second-year jump, and he definitely improved year over year, dual-threat quarterback. So, yeah, they're trending up. My thing is, I feel like he picked the worst team in the best division. And the rumors or news about J.J. Watt, or the conversation about J.J. Watt and his next team, was always going to be him chasing the ring, and that's kind of what he alluded to. And I'm surprised he didn't go in a couple other directions. The two best teams, or the two best fits, I thought, for him would be the Packers. You know, he went to Wisconsin. Aaron Rodgers is as hungry for another Super Bowl as J.J. Watt is for his first. And Buffalo, I mean, you can make a legit argument Buffalo is a pass rush away from being in the Super Bowl. Granted, they got smoked last year against the Chiefs, but they couldn't get to Patrick Mahomes. And we saw what you could do, which is if you can get to Pat Mahomes, and, you know, that's pretty much the only way you can make him less effective, you know, is the Tampa Bay model, which wasn't that complicated. It's just having elite pass rushers, which J.J. Watt still proved to be. I know he's dealt with some injuries, but when he's in the lineup and when he's playing, he looked great last year for Houston and really was like one of the few bright spots in that defense.
Yeah, well, not even all that bright. It was just the only spot on defense, really. And yeah, Houston Texans are a mess. The best tweet I saw about this signing was that the Cards now need to find a way to trade Murray for Deshaun Watson, and, you know, they can probably get a pick back as well, and, you know, just reunite him with Hopkins and J.J. Watt. The Texans, no, their Super Bowl, AFC championship, division championship odds unchanged, because they're still dead last or tied for last with the Jacksonville Jaguars in all three of those categories. Like, the Houston Texans are a disaster. If you had to, you know, come from not being an NFL fan to today being forced to pick a team to cheer for the next 10 years, Houston Texans are last because the Jaguars are at least getting Trevor Lawrence.
Right. Yeah, they have a new
Texan. The Texans have a great quarterback, but maybe not tomorrow. Like, there's no way Deshaun Watson plays a game this year. It's going to be a trade or a holdout. And if it's a holdout, that just hurts the Texans, right? Because they can get a king's ransom for him, trading him today, even though everybody knows that they want out, because there's just that many teams who want him. So if they don't trade him, then, you know, just fold the franchise, because I don't get what's going on in Houston.
Yeah, back to J.J. Watt. Another I thought would have been an interesting signing or destination for him would have been same division, L.A. Rams. Imagine J.J. Watt, Aaron Donald, I think Leonard Floyd, all on the same line. I mean, J.J. Watt, as close to a brand as a non-quarterback could be. You know, L.A., Tinseltown would be a perfect fit for him. You get to hang out with LeBron a little bit, all the stars. It would be a great fit. And, you know, it's not like that defense needs any reinforcements. But, heck, J.J. Watt, I mean, adding him with Matthew Stafford would even, I guess, further solidify their spot as a favorite in the NFC West. So it's an interesting decision by him, but, you know, Cardinals showed promise last year.
Yeah, and you mentioned, you know, worst team in the best division. Yeah, sure. The Rams are plus 1,200. 49ers are plus 1,400. Seahawks plus 2,200 for the Super Bowl. Cardinals still plus 4,000 at BetMGM. But I think the second year on that deal is huge, right? Like, Matthew Stafford's in, or with the Rams, you know, an old, pretty beat up Matthew Stafford, or an aging and pretty beat up Matthew Stafford. 49ers, we have no clue what their quarterback situation is going to be this year, let alone next year. And the Seahawks, you know, these Russell Wilson trade rumors aren't going away, right? So, you know, I think all three of those teams could look pretty different by at least year two of this deal, if not this one. And now that Cardinals team is still going to be on the rise. Now the jury is still out definitely on head coach Cliff Kingsbury, but I think Kyler Murray's headed in the right direction and plenty of weapons on that offense. And if they can draft a running back this year in the second or third round, I like that team very much. And yeah, maybe not just the next 2 years, but the next 5 years, I think they're much closer to being the best team in that division over the long run.
Right on. All right, Esten, we have to stop talking about this because, you know, we have a lot more to talk about. And honestly, football's 6 months away, and I'm getting upset. I'm missing it. I can't. It just hurts me too much to talk about football and not be able to bet on it. So let's put a pin on this. We're going to talk a lot more football here in the near future, even though there isn't games for a few more months, because the NFL draft is going to have some action. You know, BetMGM will be firing up some lines, and there'll be lines all over the internet and all the regulated sports books, and your town or in your state will have some NFL line. So or NFL draft line. So we'll be talking about that. But we have a pretty extensive hoops du jour menu. I'm going to talk three NBA games that I like for this week. It's the final week before the All-Star break this upcoming weekend. You're going to talk about the Arnold Palmer Invitational. But the first on the hoops du jour menu here is I have a take, and I'm going to put my money where my mouth is on this take, and that's Julius Randle to win Most Improved Player. Right now on BetMGM, he's plus 700. I got it at BetOnline at plus 750. BetOnline is one of the outs that I use. Now, if you listen to other sports gambling podcasts, hopefully you remember that we're the best, and we have the most actionable intel and the sickest handicaps. However, you might have heard something called outs or other sports gamblers educating you about different places to get down money so you can shop around for the best price on futures, game lines, whatever sports betting market you're looking for. So even though BetMGM is a great sponsor for us and they have this line active, and I definitely endorse BetMGM, especially if you live in the states that they're operational in. Obviously, if you don't, then you have to go to another book. But they got Julius Randle at plus 700, so that's a line we're going to go off of. He has the fourth best odds at the moment, behind Jeremy Grant, who's first. Do you have the odds in front of you on that?
Jeremy Grant first at minus 200, minus 210. It's been fluctuating a little bit. Christian Wood plus 275, number two there, and Jaylen Brown plus 500, third by the odds. Then you have Julius Randle, like you said, plus 700. Zach LaVine plus 2000, and Colin Sexton plus 2800. Round out the top six.
Okay, well, my Julius Randle argument, I think Zach LaVine actually should be higher. It's kind of stunning that he's ahead of Jeremy Grant. I mean, they're in the same division. The Bulls have a much better chance. Well, Detroit isn't mathematically eliminated, but they pretty much have no chance to the playoffs this year. Chicago Bulls are at least in contention for that play-in tournament to get into the playoffs. So I am kind of surprised that Zach LaVine is as far down as he is. I wouldn't even hate a little sprinkle on him, but I feel like the value is just insane for Julius Randle. Again, I got down on this earlier this morning, but the Knicks have a winning record entering March for the first time since 2013. And make no mistake, that is going to be the biggest part, or the second biggest part of this handicap outside of Julius Randle's numbers. In February, the Knicks were 9-5 overall, 10-4 against the spread. So gamblers are loving them. I'm a little surprised that the odds for Julius Randle are still as high as they are. But if the Knicks make the postseason without having to participate in the play-in tournament, then the hype for the Knicks is going to be just so overwhelming. And them being a winning playoff team should propel his argument even further. He's played every game thus far, and if he plays all 66 games this season, I feel as though that should add to his argument, and it most likely will. I hope voters will take into account the Iron Horse mentality he's had this year. And it's also, you know, if he plays a full season, it's a bit of dumb luck, right? You have players that are taking days off for rest, load management, actual rehab of injuries, and then we're still in a pandemic, and we've seen players miss games because of a positive COVID test. We've also seen players miss games just for being near someone who tested positive. So again, it's a little bit of dumb luck, but if he stays off the COVID list and stays injury free, which he already has to this point, then that should just bolster his argument with voters. Right now, he's got a career high in points per game at 23.4, career high in rebounds per game at 10.9, and assists per game 5.5. He's shooting the highest 3-point percentage of his career at 41.9, and he's an 80.8 free throw shooter. He's a first time All-Star this year. And if you go through the other favorites, you got Jeremy Grant as the top favorite on BetMGM. I think Detroit's in tank mode, and Grant isn't leading the NBA in anything, you know, so it's not like he's the leading scorer. He also, you know, he's got the same points per game as Julius Randle, but Julius Randle is 50 percentage points better from the field shooting, and he's 56 percentage points better from three-point land. Jeremy Grant's got a lower PER. Christian Wood was actually my favorite if it weren't for the injury. I talked about this on a handicap that I did weeks ago at this point. Actually, probably over a month ago. And I know you read it and you saw this take. But since Christian Wood's been down, the Houston Rockets are 0-12. They were a winning team with Christian Wood in the lineup. He was averaging 20-10. He was top 20 in rebounding rate, block percentage. This guy was an absolute monster. And him being injured, and he's not going to come back this week. They're anticipating him back shortly after the All-Star break. I almost view him as DQ'd at this point. And
yeah, absolutely he is. Like, even if he comes back tonight, he can't win it. Like, his only path to victory here is for every one of these other top contenders we mentioned to miss 10 plus games as well, right? Like, yeah, Julius Randle's played every game. All these other guys have played every game or almost every game. No way Christian Wood can win this award if this goes on and nobody else gets hurt, right? Like, I don't get how he's still the second favorite. Sure, he was playing great before. Sure, he's going to come back and probably still be playing great. But you know, the Houston Rockets have mailed it in, so they're not going to be giving him much support once he does finally return, right? Their season's over now.
He's actually making, right now, by not playing, he's making the best case for comeback player or most improved player and MVP. They lost by 49 the other night to the Grizzlies. They can't do anything without him. All they can do and all they're trying to do really is chuck threes. I mean, it's bad over there. And at the time of his injury, they were slated to be in the playoffs, or they were in the top 8 seeds of the West and had a winning record. So, like, with his play and given the Harden exit in Houston, had they had a winning record and been in the play-in tournament, he's pretty much a lock. I mean, he was incredible this year. But like I said, and like you agreed with, I look at him as kind of DQ'd at this point. Which brings us to the fourth favorite, who's Jaylen Brown of the for the Boston Celtics. Now, he's actually starting to deal with some injuries now. He's questionable to play tonight against the Clippers. He missed the last Celtics game against the Wizards. He's having an outstanding season. I can't really talk bad about him. However, what I will say is it's pretty evident that even if he's in the lineup with Jason Tatum, he's the second fiddle on that team. Jason Tatum is the better player, and they're missing Marcus Smart. Kemba Walker's regular absences have hurt the team, and I think for him to be ahead or hold his lead on Julius Randle and eventually win the award over him, he would have to prove to be the best player on his team, or at least part of a top two that is an Eastern Conference contender, because that was their preseason expectations. Like the New York Knicks and Julius Randle are far out kicking their coverage right now, and that's going to be accounted for in the voting later on, I think. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, just going back to one of your first points on him, like, you're the best player on the first good Knicks team in, what, a decade, more than a decade? Like, that absolutely has to have some sway here, right? Like, yeah, you mentioned the Detroit Pistons stink. The Houston Rockets stink. The Boston Celtics, you know, as good as Jaylen Brown's been, they're probably going to be about the same team either way, right? Like, if it's not him stepping up, it'd be somebody else. But, yeah, like, when was the last time the Knicks were this good? And as you say, in February, they were legitimately good.
Yep. Cashing tickets and winning games, or cashing bets, winning games. And then when you look at all their stats side by side, Julius Randle has the highest net rating at +7. That's me DQ and Christian Wood. He has a higher net rating, but I think me and you agreed that he's DQ'd. So that's the last time I'll mention him or that. I'm actually wrapping up the handicap. Anyways, Jeremy Grant is even in net rating, and Jaylen Brown is +1. And what net rating is you get a score of how many points are scored per 100 possessions. And obviously the higher it is on offense and the lower it is on defense, the better your net rating is. So Julius Randle leads Jeremy Grant and Jaylen Brown in that. He's got almost twice as many win shares and value over replacement player percentage points or stat numbers, whatever, over Jeremy Grant and Jaylen Brown. He's actually third in defensive win shares this season and 11th in VORP this season. Julius Randle, 7-1. I love it. Love it. It's going to the window.
Yeah, I think really the only other arguments here you can make, Levine at +2,000, like, yeah, much the same case as with Randle. Like, Levine's the star player on the first good Bulls team in close to 10 years, right? Like, that's got to have some sway too. And, you know, I love futures betting in NHL, NFL, MLB, golf. I don't love it in NBA just because we always see these, you know, extremely top heavy markets. And, you know, the MVP race every year is, you know, 3, 4, 5 guys max. But in this most improved, one that caught my eye, I want to get your thoughts if it's worth any sort of a shot. Zion Williamson at +8,000. And to me, this could maybe be something of a makeup vote because of shortened season last year. He didn't win Rookie of the Year. You think there's any chance where if, you know, he keeps having a good year and the Pelicans have a great second half and, you know, get one of those guaranteed Western Conference playoff spots somehow, would there be, you know, any chance where a guy's like, hey, well, you know, make up vote for Williamson for not winning Rookie of the Year last year?
I think it's a great question. I just think that he's just got, and for this particular award, has some shitty luck. You know, he didn't play much last year. When he played, he was absolutely sensational. So the numbers jump really wasn't, it was more of just like a stat, gradual increase. And like, it's almost like he's outplayed that award already. You know, like, he's already looking at all NBA first, second team, whatever. Like, I mean, it's a hard team to crack with Kawhi, LeBron, AD, you know, all the sick wings and forwards, but like, he's in that conversation. And Yeah, I mean, he just didn't. It was like he didn't play enough for the rookie award last year, and he didn't play enough last year to see like the crazy increase in like production. Also, like to me, the biggest, I guess, just to answer the Zion thing, because I was gonna just go right back to the, you know, the biggest part of this handicap for me was the Julius Randle New York Knicks success. But I mean, if the Pelicans do make the playoffs or make a playoff run, which I kind of anticipate they will. I think they are trending up. I had them beating the Jazz last night, actually, outright, and they did. He's awesome. Honestly, you really caught me off guard with that. That's a good question, man. But my initial take is just, it's almost just like shitty luck, and he's like kind of outplayed that award. It's in a weird way, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right.
Yeah, no, that was a concern. But, yeah, I don't know. The odds dispersion here is just always so weird to me. Like, and we talked about the top five favorites here, well, top six favorites. Got two others at plus 3,000, one at plus 3,300, and then one at 5,000, one at 6,000, a whole bunch at plus 8,000, and then, you know, plus 10,000 and beyond. It's, it's always a weird dynamic, especially with half a season left, right? And, you know, especially with some of these teams having more than half a season's worth of games, right? Because of postponements. But, yeah. I'm with you on Randle being a good value at plus 700, just because at least two of the guys in front of him shouldn't be.
Right. Yeah. And like, honestly, if I closed my eyes and like guessed what I would be arguing against, it would have been Zach LaVine. I'm very surprised he's as far down as he is. But all right. Well, again, you'll probably hear this in a few minutes going to the window, but that's enough of the hoops du jour here for a minute. We'll back burner the rest of the hoops talk for a few minutes down the line, but let's go over to the links here. You're our resident golf expert. The Arnold Palmer Invitational is teeing off this weekend. Why don't you take it away from here?
Okay, yeah. The PGA Tour season really heated up last week with the WGC Workday Championship, won by Colin Morikawa. Very impressive performance. You know, good for a very solid four rounds from him. And, you know, hung it together on Sunday against a very stiff competition, trying to make a charge. But, no, that's his third PGA Tour win. Nice to see he's going to be around for a long time. But I'm going to come into Arnold Palmer Invitational, obviously paying tribute to the late, great Arnold Palmer. Bay Hill Club and Lodge, par 72 course, 7,454 yards. Bermuda grass greens, water hazards, mainly on eight holes. Last year had bad winds, especially on the weekend, really skewed scoring. Minus four was the finishing or winning score by Tyrrell Hatton. Only four players were below par, actually. The previous eight winners were minus 11 or better. So yeah, last year, you can't really look at it too much. We just got to hope that we're not going to have those wins again. But this is a long, tough course, and it really rewards ball strikers and guys who can hit it far. Much more so than most other courses on the PGA Tour. So look at the odds here. I don't love betting golf favorites, but sometimes you just got to. Rory McIlroy plus 850. You know, he's in his second year without a win. And yeah, he's had some great finishes, you know, kind of all over the world in between, but everyone cites that lack of a wins record. I think he's in a great spot to break that this week. He's won here before, a lot of top 10 finishes when he's not winning, plus 850. I'm fine with that. You know, this field weaker than last week, weaker than, you know, it's close to the Genesis, maybe a little bit weaker, not as top heavy anyway, comparable to the Farmers Insurance Open as well. So McIlroy is the biggest name here without Dustin Johnson, John Rahm, Xander Schauffele. Rory McIlroy plus 850. He's second in this field, Bryson DeChambeau, and strokes gained off the tee. Plenty of experience here. So yeah, I like him at plus 850. I'm not too scared by the price. After that, I'm going to go to Francesco Molinari plus 2800. He won here in 2019, didn't play last year because of a back injury. So, you know, if the weather is going to be fine this week, in a sense, he's sort of the defending champion, at least, you know, he won at 1200 par. Yep.
Did you get that at plus 3,300? I saw you tweet that out.
Yes. Yeah, I got it at plus 3,300. Nice. He was as high as plus 3,500 at other books. So like you said, with NBA stuff, it is important to shop around. We do like BetMGM. They often have a lot of very good prices, but you know, golf betting especially, you're going to find differences when there's 123, 144 people in the field, right? And you know, they can't all be priced the same across the board. So that's why it's a good idea to register at 2, 3, 4 different books, get those initial sign up bonuses, and you know, find discrepancies in prices here.
Yeah, I was gonna say, we all love CLV, closing line value. Good job, Heston. Good
exactly.
job.
Yeah. So yeah, Molnar, he's ninth by the odds at BetMGM. You know, he's about that at most places, 10th, 11th, 12th, maybe. But yeah, plus 2,800, plus 3,500. I love it. 2019 champion. He's been here before, a lot of other top finishes as well. And he's been playing a lot better this year. You know, this guy fell off the face of the earth last year. You know, he had that back injury and then the COVID-19 pandemic. He was stuck in Italy for a while. So yeah, he played only 7 events in all of 2020. He's already played 4 events in 2021, has 3 top 10 finishes. Most of those are against fields at least as strong as this. So I like that very much at whatever price you can get. I like Matthew Fitzpatrick plus 2,200 at BetMGM. This guy has a runner-up. He has a 9th place finish last year in the tough weather. And, you know, he's just been playing very good golf lately as well. WGC last year or last week. Had a quality finish. He made a run at the Genesis Invitational as well. I like him. Not known as a long hitter, but a great ball striker, and his short game and putting has been very good. Speaking of putting, Jason Kokrak plus 4,500. You know, he's among the tour leaders in strokes gained putting this year. He won the CJ Cup at Shadow Creek on Bermuda greens, basically because of his putting. Shadow Creek, also a very similar course to Bay Hill. Bay Hill's longer. So that's going to be a bit more of a test for other people in the field. Jason Kokrak is a long hitter. That's not a concern for him at all. And then I'll give 2 more. Henrik Stenson, a former Open champion, plus 10,000. This is his first PGA Tour event of 2021. That doesn't matter to me. He's as experienced as anyone in this field and has played as well as anyone in this field at this course. He's won a major. He's contended in many other majors, and you know, plus 2,000 is just a ridiculous price. And that's kind of been a theme in early in this golf season with these strong fields, how top heavy they are, how big of favorites of guys like Dustin Johnson, John Rahm, Xander Schauffele are each week. You know, get name brand value in a guy like Henrik Stenson plus 10,000. That's just a no brainer to put at least a couple of bucks on it. And then one last long shot, not the name brand value, but a 2-time PGA Tour winner, Cameron Champ, plus 15,000. He's 4th in this field in strokes gained off the tee. He's played here twice before, missed the cut both times. I'm okay with that. You know, it's got to come eventually. He's played very well on similar courses, Silverado Country Club being one of them, where he won the Safeway Open. He's as long a hitter as anyone in this field, not named DeChambeau or McIlroy. I like him. At that number, he's a 2-time PGA Tour winner. This field, a bit stronger than the ones he's beaten before, but the value there is, again, like, he should be closer to the 6,000-7,000 range, I would think. I like Cameron Champ at plus 15,000.
I'm going to put you on the spot here real quick, like you did with me earlier with Zion. do you like any head-to-head matchups in this one?
Ooh, I haven't gotten around to looking at them yet, so way to go ahead and put me on the spot.
Well,
let's go.
I'm trying to pop my my golf betting cherry here, and
yeah,
you know, just the wide open field type thing, and the uniqueness of betting on golf is a little concerning. A little, like, I don't know, makes me nervous, right? So The first way, I don't want to ease into golf betting, and I don't know how many people are listening that feel me or on the same page as this, or with me on this, but I don't know. The best way to do it, I think, is to do a head-to-head. So I don't know if you saw anything as your handicap and that stood out to you.
Yeah, I got a few here actually that I do like. Taking a quick first look, Bryson DeChambeau -140 against defending champion Tyrrell Hatton, +105. That's just going to be a value play for me on Hatton. Yeah, he won last year in tough wind conditions. Yeah, I don't care. This guy can play in any weather. DeChambeau, yes, he's the strokes gained off the tee leader in this field, any field. But yeah, I don't. He doesn't have the resume of Hatton at this course anyway, and he's looked shaky early on in 2021. Obviously, the U.S. Open champion went downhill with the Masters and has really been unimpressive ever since. After that, got Jason Day against Jason Kokrak. Battle of the Jasons. Day -125, Kokrak -110. Again, that's a value play for me and Kokrak. This course suits him well. He's been putting well. He likes Bermuda grass greens. Obviously, Jason Day is a very good putter as well, and you know, great driver. These two are kind of similar golfers right now. Obviously, Day is a former number one, a major winner, winner of a lot of other events. Jason Kokrak, just the CJ Cup under his belt, but that was against an elite field. I definitely think he can hang in these events more regularly going forward. And then I'll give you one more.
So we got Kokrak -110 and Hatton +105?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. And then, no, not great value there. I mentioned both these guys as outright picks. Matt Fitzpatrick -160 and Francesco Molinari +110. Just going to be the value of Molinari there for me. Both these guys kind of playing similarly well this year, similar top finishes anyway. Fitzpatrick played last week, whereas Molinari was off, was not invited to the WGC, and then returning to a course where the site of his last PGA Tour win. I think that's going to be huge for him. And, this guy fell well outside of the top 100 in the official world golf ranking in kind of 2 years of not playing much golf. I think that's going to change in a big way all through 2021, at least what we've seen through the first 2 months. And yeah, you're not going to get Francesco Molinari as an underdog very often after this week, I don't think.
Kind of like a rookie question, noob question. Maybe some people out there have it. The head-to-heads, that's for a full four rounds, I'm assuming, right? It's not just a one round.
All these ones I just mentioned are for the full 72 holes or whatever. Tomorrow they'll come out. You'll get three ball first round matchups because the first two rounds are played in three-man groups. So that's when you can get your 18-hole head-to-head or head-to-head-to-head matchup bets.
Okay. And obviously, I feel like this is an easy one. I shouldn't even have to ask. But if they miss the cut, right, it's like that person loses. If one makes the cut and the other one misses, like, can you – theoretically, you can cash the ticket after round two if they miss the cut, right?
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah.
The books won't do that.
One makes the cut, you're fine. And yeah, I don't, you stump me here. I don't know how it works if both guys were to miss the cut. I would expect it would be a push and a refund. But please do be sure to check the rules at your book choice if you are placing that bet. But I would expect it would be a push and your bet would be refunded if both guys were to miss the cut.
All right, cool. You said Molinari over who? Fitzpatrick?
Yes.
Is that specific to BetMGM? Because I'm looking at another book here because I'm not in a state that BetMGM has or is operational, but I have Molinari -115 against Tommy Fleetwood. Is it depend on the book or is it?
Yeah, so with these matchup bets, kind of the same as player props, I guess. Some books will have different offerings, right? So mm-hmm. all these matchup bets, they're going to differ from buck to buck. Generally they go based off of guys with similar world ranking. Sometimes it'll just be two guys who are the talk of the town and getting all the hype coming in. Then got to factor in things like course history as well, and they try to pick them to make them exciting. obviously one that should be popular in other books this week would be DeChambeau against McIlroy as the two biggest names here. BetMGM has McIlroy against Victor Hovland as well. You can't criticize that. Victor Hovland, one of the most exciting young players in the game. So, yeah, definitely differs every week, every event from book to book. But that's kind of the general rule. And if you can find that one, Fitzpatrick Molinari, like Molinari. And I also like Molinari versus Tommy Fleetwood. Fleetwood plays very well in Florida, has played well in this event. So that one would actually scare me a bit more than Fitzpatrick, but I would still lean Molinari for your case.
Okay, cool. And yeah, just one more question here. I got you gave out Hatton plus 105 over DeChambeau, but I have that one, and I got on my book McIlroy DeChambeau. McIlroy is minus 125, DeChambeau is minus 105. But would you prefer Hatton plus 105 over DeChambeau or Hatton plus 135 over Rory McIlroy? I know you gave him out as you like Rory McIlroy, but.
Yeah, I would prefer Hatton over DeChambeau.
Gotcha, cool.
Largely just because of current form, DeChambeau is just kind of looking lost right now. Whereas McIlroy showed some signs, played well last week, Yeah, he missed the cut of the Genesis Invitational, which snapped a really long mid-cut streak, but he rebounded with no ill effects last week. So, yeah, I'm very concerned about Rory McIlroy winning this event at plus 850.
Right. Okay. Are you, is the theory behind DeChambeau just, juiced up numbers because of the U.S. Open?
That and all the hype of the distance, right? And, this is a course where the added distance is going to help him out, but... We just haven't seen good form on or around the greens or even great iron play. And, last week when you're listening mic'd up, he's not really feeling with his driver either. He's blaming the shaft. He's blaming the club manufacturers more than himself. And, added all this weight, all this size, all this swing speed. Well, at some point, it's not on the equipment to handle what you want to do. It's on you to learn how to use the equipment best, right? So, yeah, I think that's kind of where he's stuck right now, is he just feels that he should be able to swing as hard as he wants. And there's got to be a breaking point where he realizes that's just not going to work and he's got to dial it back a bit.
Seeing ghosts out there in the links, isn't he?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, one more topic or segment here we're going to discuss before we go to the window. I have three NBA games that I like for the rest of this week. I'm sorry, I didn't even ask if you were finished there. I just assumed it.
Oh, no, yeah, that's good. Yeah, cool. I'll put up a props piece either late Tuesday night when you're listening to this or early Wednesday morning, sportsbookwire.com, Arnold Palmer Invitational matchups and prop bets. So keep an eye on that, and we'll try to get some first-round three balls in there as well.
Awesome, yep. Check them out, Esten McLaren at sportsbookwire.usatoday.com. So, yeah, the last segment here before we go to the window and lock in our best bets is I'm going to give three NBA handicaps for games later this week. Nothing tonight, recording Tuesday, March 2nd. By the time you hear this, it'll be too late most likely, so... Hopefully you're chomping at the bit for the next bet slipping episode. So you'll get this either later tonight or tomorrow morning. And then I have two Wednesday games and a Thursday game. I've been killing it in this segment recently. Yeah. I won the only game that I did 2 weeks ago, which was the Valentine's game between the Portland Trail Blazers and the Dallas Mavericks. I gave out three last week. I kind of need your ruling on my record, though, my official record. I gave out the Jazz over the Lakers, but I technically said I'd play it up to -7. I think it opened at -7.5, and it got up to -9.5. Jazz rolled them. Do you count it, though, because of the disclaimer?
Yeah, we'll count it, yeah.
Right. Either way, I'm either 4-0 or 3-0 in my last three or four games. The other game that I gave was the Knicks over the Kings. Knicks crushed the Kings. And then I gave the Bucks over the Clippers this past Sunday, and obviously the Bucks beat the Clippers. So what we're looking at, I'm going big game hunting, both Wednesday games here in the first two games. The first one, I got the Jazz at the Philadelphia 76ers. And I'm looking at the 76ers here, top two seed or the top seeds in each conference. So it's going to be an awesome game, awesome way to end the first half of the NBA season. The first meeting this year, Jazz won 134-123. Philly had no Joel Embiid in that game, and they were up 12 in the first quarter. They also had no Shake Milton, and he's important because he's actually got the eighth best odds to win sixth man of the year on BetMGM. Now, that award is essentially locked up by Utah's Jordan Clarkson, who scored 40 off the bench against the 76ers. Now, I'm not going to sit here and talk about Shake Milton's defense, but just having someone out there who can somewhat match Clarkson with points and make Clarkson work defensively is enough to kind of offset the damage Clarkson does off the bench. But aside from the last Jazz-Sixers game, which the Jazz won, Philadelphia covered six straight games against the Jazz, and they won five of those games outright. They have the second highest clutch net rating the 76ers do. And they have the best clutch winning percentage with a 14-5 record in clutch situations. Clutch situations defined by the NBA as up or within a 5-point margin with 5 minutes left to go in the game. The estimated line, my estimation for the line will be 76ers -2.5. I would play it if the 76ers got to 4. I would be pretty surprised. I'd play it up to 4.5, though. Next game, Warriors at the Portland Blazers or at the Portland Trail Blazers. Again, this is a Wednesday, March 3rd game. I'm looking at the Golden State Warriors. They beat the crap out of the Blazers in the first meeting earlier this season, 137-122. The Blazers were fully healthy for that game. They had CJ McCollum. They had Jusuf Nurkic. I don't believe they had Zach Collins, actually. But they had two of their starters, their big man, and another all-star caliber guard in CJ McCollum. Curry scored a career-high 62 points in that game. He pretty much owns the Portland Trail Blazers. In 22 career games versus Dame Lillard, Curry's team is 15-7. He averages 31.2 points per game on 49% field goal shooting, 46% three-point shooting, 90% from the free throw line, which is pretty standard for him. In the playoffs, which obviously doesn't matter, it's a regular season game, but it's just further to the point. He's 10-0 in the playoffs, averaging 33.4 points per game against the Trailblazers. Warriors and Curry own this team. The Warriors have both their bigs back in the lineup, and again, Portland is going to be without Nurkic. Blazers are just too Dame Lillard reliant for me. They're last in bench plus minus, whereas Golden State's bench plus minus is 7th. Warriors have multiple awesome on-ball defenders to throw at Dame Lillard between Andrew Wiggins and Kelly Oubre. And speaking of depth, or speaking of defense, Golden State Warriors are 4th in defensive rating, and the Blazers are 28th. Now, this is according to cleaningtheglass.com. The Golden State Warriors versus bottom 10 defenses are 7-5 overall, but they're plus 4 in net efficiency and plus 6 points in ATS margin. The Blazers versus top 10 defenses, which again, Golden State surprisingly is, they get after it on defense. If you like defense, if you like watching defense and effort, really the Warriors are a treat with Andrew Wiggins, Kelly Oubre, and obviously Draymond Green. But against top 10 defenses this year, the Blazers are 6-7 with a minus 2 net efficiency. The look ahead line is on a few books. It's Warriors minus 1. I would play it up to Warriors minus 3.5. I have one more handicap here. You don't have anything to say about any of that, DSN?
No, we're good. Well, quickly, how do you pick out these games this far in advance? Like, what draws you to these games in particular?
That's a good question. Well, I really like how the Warriors have always played against the Portland Trail Blazers, and the Trail Blazers are dinged up, and they still have a winning record. So I think, you know, them with a winning record, actually ahead of the Golden State Warriors, even though they're not as good in net efficiency. And if you really dig into the numbers, Portland, they're overperforming their numbers. So they have essentially a higher win differential than their points per 100 possession net efficiency would suggest. I also was big about the Sixers beating the Jazz the first time around. They pulled Joel Embiid like 10 minutes before the game started. And if that didn't happen, I think the Jazz, or I think the 76ers would have won. Ben Simmons scored a career-high 42 points in that game. Tobias Harris scored 36 on 65% effective field goal shooting. So I kind of had that game specifically like earmarked. You know, a couple weeks ago with Trailblazers Mavericks, I think the Luka hype is a little too much, and I thought head-to-head in a primetime spot, like I said, Dame would get the better of him, and that defense for Dallas is so terrible that Blazers have a field day. I don't know. That's kind of the dressed-up answer. The short of it is I just look, and whatever I kind of get excited about, I start to poke around in, and if I can, you know, if I can come on the Bet Slippin' podcast and sell the handicap, that's kind of all I'm looking to do here. But I guess, truthfully, I am also looking for, like, big game spots that people care about, right? So, and then the last one, Thursday, March 4th, Nuggets at the Pacers. I'm looking at the Nuggets here. Both teams have cluster injuries, but Pacers are without their best three shot creators. Definitely going to be without Caris LeVert and TJ Warren. I believe Jeremy Lamb is technically questionable or doubtful for this game. I think they're just going to sit him and give him the All-Star break, but I guess we'll see on that. I'll play it either way. But despite a notable front court of Miles Turner, who is an above-average defensive player, and Domantas Sabonis, who is an Eastern Conference All-Star, they're dead last in rebounding rate, which is like a weird thing to think about. Dead last in rebounding rate. Denver's 11th in rebounding rate. Indy is in the bottom third of the league in opponents' paint points per game and opponents' second chance points per game. Denver is 10th in paint points per game. And, you know, if you have a weakness in the paint, there is few players outside of Nikola Jokic that can make you pay worse for that or pay a bigger toll for being weak and having a weak interior defense. Again, going to my favorite NBA analytics site here, cleaningtheglass.com. Indy versus top 10 offenses, which Denver is. They're 3-8 with a minus 7 points in net efficiency and minus 3.5 points ATS margin, which is actually 22nd in the league in that against top 10 defenses. Denver operates a lot of the post. They have the third highest rate of post plays or post play frequency. They're 6th in points per possession out of the post, and Indy gives up the 4th highest points at points per possession out of the post. Again, is Nikola Jokic going to be able to work Miles Turner or whatever interior defense Indiana has? And I also think that the Nuggets are going to get absolutely smoked tonight by the Bucks, and I think there's going to be some inherent value because bettors aren't going to be excited about the Nuggets after watching them getting whooped up on the Bucks. Even if they don't beat the Bucks, I still like it. You know, I estimate this line will be Nuggets minus 5, and I'd play it up to Nuggets minus 7. But the Nuggets are the right side. Those are my three NBA games for the week. What do you say? You ready to lock in our best bets and get out of here?
Let's do it.
The Bet Slippin' Podcast. Go into the window.
All right, cool. I'll let you start it off because I'm pretty much going to say everything I just said here. So what are you taking to the window or going to the window with?
Yeah, again, so a couple golf picks here, and thank you for bringing the matchups to my attention. I usually do that Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday evening. It's gonna be tomorrow morning. I'm making that call now. But yeah, outright pick. I'm just gonna say my favorite one here: Francisco Molinari plus 2,800 at BetMGM. or whatever. You can get him at anywhere else if you so choose. I like him. Plus 2800. He's been playing great golf. And one here. 2019, bad 2020 that we can just write off completely. I think he's well on his way to a full return. And then matchups, like you said, Jason Day, Jason Kokrak. Jason Kokrak minus 110 as a slight underdog in this. That is a full tournament head-to-head matchup. Just whoever finishes better. A tie is a no bet. That's a push. But MGM does say that. So I guess I would say if both guys were to miss the cut. But yeah, Jason Kokrak minus 110. Really playing well. Real great putter. Loves himself some Bermuda greens. And I think he, you know, kind of makes... he's going to contend in these fields all year long. So I think he makes that statement this week.
All right. I got like my three NBA games here. I'm going Sixers over the Jazz. Play it up to 4.5. I think it'll be 76ers minus 2. I like the Warriors at Portland to win. I would play that one up to Dubs minus 3.5. The look-ahead line is Warriors minus 1. Hopefully it stays around there. And then the Nuggets, I would play it up to... Again, I spitball here. I play it up to 7. I think it'll come out at 5, 5.5. And then going back to the future that I like, Julius Randle, plus 700. Definitely shop around for all your lines, but plus 700 or for all the prices, but plus 700 on BetMGM, which is definitely a play for me. I was lucky enough to get it at plus 750, but I would play it down to plus 600. I can't imagine you get worse odds. If you do, keep shopping, I guess, or pass. But that's all I got for my my final bet slip here. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to put a small sprinkle on Zion Williamson at plus 8,000 for that award, just because you didn't really shoot me down, and I want to test that theory, see if I can predict voter behavior. Plus 8,000 is a great price for a very good basketball player.
Oh, excellent. Well, we have a lot of awesome future episodes coming down the pike that will feature March Madness, our MLB 2021 preview extravaganza. The Masters is close. The NFL draft will be here soon. So we'll be tackling all those sporting events and being looking for ways to make some money off of them, obviously. Best of luck on your bets this week, homies. Till next time, later.
You've been listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast with Jeff Clark and Esten McLaren from USA Today Sportsbook Wire.
Listen and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform.